When Jesus said in John chapter 6, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. So does that mean that taking the communion every week, that is what's saving us? One of my favorite scriptures in Romans chapter 12, it's verses 1 and 2. If you don't know it, you probably should know it. Paul says this, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true purpose and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, what does Paul mean exactly when he says a living sacrifice? Because a sacrifice means to give something up. A sacrifice means to give an offering. And we can see examples of that in the Bible. We can see examples all the way back to Cain and Abel, to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to Jacob. We can see all of these examples of godly men giving sacrifice and offering. And we can see an example in Exodus chapter 24, verse 8. This is after Moses has been talking with God and writing everything down and blessing all of his people. It says that Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all of these words," the words that they were speaking of. And it's through this covenant that God has made with his people through sacrifice. And God set up a system with the Israelites, a way that his people, the Israelites, could find favor in God through sacrifice and offerings. And they had different reasons to sacrifice things. They had different blessings from God. And they would each give up an offering of things that they had, a tenth of what they produced. They would give up their cattle. They would give up, and depending on how wealthy they were, they would even sacrifice birds. They would burn these offerings, and they would use these incense and hope that the aroma would be pleasing to God. They would seek God's blessing, seek his peace, and also seek his forgiveness. Seek his forgiveness because they would fall short, or they would sin against God. And they would use these sacrifices and offerings in hopes that they would be forgiven. This was their way of communing with God. But their system involved going through a priest, giving up some earthly material and sacrificing it to God. This was the only way they knew of how to get a blessing from God. This was their way of showing obedience to God. But today we don't have that same covenant with God. We can see in Jeremiah, I lost the chapter. In Jeremiah, God says, "The days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them in hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel at that time. I will put my law into their hearts, and I will write it on their minds. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will know the Lord, because they will know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will forgive the wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." We can see that in the Old Testament, God gave his children everything they needed to bless him in order to be fruitful. Yet they still couldn't be obedient to God. We can see examples of Jesus dealing with it firsthand when he dealt with the Pharisees, who time and time again didn't understand the will of God. They They loved their rule. They had their rules, and they held it over love. They followed the letter of the law, but not the intent of the law. I took this one specific thing of Jesus just going at the Pharisees, and it's in Matthew chapter 23, verses 23. And this is when he's talking to the Pharisees. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrite! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the most important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." You see, the Israelites, God's children, they lost themselves, and they couldn't keep themselves in favor with God. So Jesus became the solution to their failure. And again, in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul writes this in reference to the Jeremiah verses. "For one by sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That this covenant that God," sorry, "with the Holy Spirit says, this is the covenant I will make with them, and after that time, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their mind. Their sins and lawless acts will be remembered no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Jesus' sacrifice, going to the cross for all of us, created this new covenant that Jeremiah was referencing. It gave us a new way to commune with God. It gave us something different because Jesus became that ultimate sacrifice for us. Jesus, in this act, he took the place of all offerings, all Passover offerings, all the burnt offerings, and all the offerings of forgiveness of sin. He took all of that in one act, not just for me or you, but for everyone on this planet, everyone that they could know God's will and know God's understanding. And our communion that we take, it's for a way for us to offer ourselves to God, to bless the sacrifice that Jesus made. And we also take communion because is what Jesus commanded us. In John, Jesus is in John chapter 6, verses 52 through 58, Jesus is referring to a crowd of people. And he says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. For as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the breads that your fathers ate and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." And you can see this again and again. Jesus talks about this. He talks about it in Matthew and Mark and Luke, when each one of the scriptures references this conversation. And so in doing communion, we have a chance at this eternal life with Jesus. We take this communion not because it's some tradition that we do, but we also take it in part because of what Paul was referring to in Romans when he says that we are to be living sacrifices, that we are to do what Jesus is calling us to do, when we commit our lives to what Jesus has called us to do, that this communion is a small part of that, of what Jesus has called for us to do. Jesus is the bread of life, and the communion is meant to fill us. It's meant for us to get together and feel God's love. And our minds should always be focused on that when we take the communion. When we take the bread part of the offering, we should be focusing on what Jesus said when he said, "This is my body." I know specifically for me, whenever I take a piece of mine, I pray to God and I thank him for the body of Christ and all the meanings of the word. Because Jesus came to earth and he lived here with an earthly body. And this is the body that we should focus on, that we should think about what he did with that body. Think about the good that Jesus did throughout his life. Think about how he serviced others, how humble he was. That Jesus, in all his power and glory, served those who need it. He served those, the lost. He didn't come for just the rich, but he came for the lost. He came for everybody. He went out and he blessed those who needed him. He blessed them and he forgave them. And he went out and he taught God's will. And his perfect life should be on your mind when you take the bread. And what also should be on your mind is your life, your body, and how it is in comparison. And think to yourself, what are you doing with your life that is pleasing to God? Because Jesus led a perfect life that was pleasing to God. And I know we're not perfect like Jesus, but that doesn't give us an excuse to not try every day, to not offer our lives every single day as a living sacrifice to God. Jesus spent his life in service, and he spent it for others. Now, in turn, when we take the cup, we should also be focusing on what Jesus said when he said, "This is my blood." And when you think about the blood, you think about Jesus' blood in his body, and think about the fact that blood is the life source to keep a human being alive. It's where our power comes from. And going back into the Old Testament, we can see how in sacrificing, how important the blood was, how important part of the aspect of the sacrifice when spreading the blood on the altar and when Moses spread the blood on his people. And we should think about the blood of Jesus when he was on the earth, and think about the power of God and that the amazing miracles that were done through Jesus when he was on this earth. The people that he healed, the power that was running through him, that was the blood, and that blood was sacrificed on the cross for us. We are all the same in God's eyes. We are all sinners, and we are all his children. We were all given life from God. We were all given purpose from God. And our minds should focus on the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, so that way we can fulfill God's will. We must look at ourselves, and we must examine what we are doing. Are we living up to the idea of being a living sacrifice? When we take this communion and we think about ourselves. But not only that, but we should also rejoice in that, because this is an opportunity for us to get together as a family, as a church family, to get together and know your brothers and sisters in Christ and rejoice with them, because we have a chance at eternal life through the sacrifice. When we take this communion, we fulfill what Jesus has said for us to do, and we fulfill his promises. But there's still more that we can do. There's still more that we can give to God. And it sounds easy to say, but it's difficult for us to examine that and spend our days through that, which is why we come together every Sunday and we come together and we try and lift each other's up and we pray to God and we ask for his forgiveness and we commune with God. Now we all stand together as we stand and sing the song.